Wait a minute. Where's Starks?
Well, I thought if I brought a sandwich, Starks would show up, but he didn't. That dog, and he's not logged in today. He said he couldn't make it today.
Is he in Park City by chance? Is he a big high roller?
Yes.
What's going on in Park City?
That fundraiser for the president.
Oh, is he up? Oh, is that why Parley's Canyon's closed right now?
That's probably.
Oh. I thought he flew out already. I thought he was gone.
Still hanging around.
Most presidents don't like hanging out in Utah, so I don't. Even the Republicans don't stay long in Utah.
That's where Starks is.
All right. Well.
It's good to know he has to change his stripes.
Who? Starks? Oh, well. Old Bill, he's still Bill. Okay, well, welcome to the Employee Advisory Council meeting today. I'm Justin Williams. I'm the designated, what is it, leader? What is it called? Council head for the agency in place of Casey Cameron. So we're actually going to have a kind of an abbreviated meeting today because our presenter, we were going to have Mark Knoll talk on the state of the economy, but he is he's indisposed and had to cancel last minute. So we will have me talk, and I'll throw a couple jokes at everyone. Hopefully,
make them funny.
Hopefully they're better than Kevin. No, but I think what we'll do is we got a few new members, though, so I think what we'll do is at the end, when we go around the table, we'll have the new members kind of introduce themselves. And so I'll save the introductions till last, if that's okay, because I know we have Matt and we have Joey, and I don't know if everyone has met them before. But why don't we just dive right into it? So the agenda says we were going to have the minutes is what we need to approve. We actually have two sets of minutes because Dave didn't show up in May. Couldn't get a quorum, so yeah, it's your fault, Dave. Totally your fault. And so what we need to do is we need to approve our December 18th minutes, and we also need to approve our May 11th minutes. Do I hear anyone who wants to?
I'll make a motion to approve both of them, even though I wasn't at one of them.
Okay, that's a second motion. Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay,
aye.
The ayes have it. And then Melissa, we just make sure you need to sign in when you come in. But okay, well, good. That was a big weight on my back. That's like a millstone around your neck when you had those minutes that didn't get approved. Kevin kept bugging me. Hey, why hasn't those minutes passed? One other thing we wanted to talk about real quick before we pretended we got into the economy. The council vacancies, I think, we're not really running into a lot of vacancies. We have to have a minimum of 5 for each. We've got 5. No, we're short one. No. Yeah, we're short one employee representative now. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay, so we are short one employee representative. So I think what we have here is if anyone knows of anyone who thinks that might be a good person to be on the council for an employee representative on the council, just let me know, and then we can get an invite out to him. I think Matt can attest it's a painless process to get him signed up for it. we only had to take a couple of quarts of blood, or pints of blood.
All right, I
got it. All right. So, and like I said, Mark Knoll, he was going to give us an account. I actually think it might be better for him, because what we'll do is we'll reschedule for him for December. It actually might be more appropriate to have him for December anyway, because if you listen to all the doom and gloom on the news, that's probably going to be more appropriate to have him kind of tell us what 2024 might look like. So he might have a better picture on that crystal ball of his when he does that. So why don't we move in then right into the trust fund update, which is my favorite part. And I think what's interesting, I do appreciate that Dave said that this has gotten better, because my first council meeting, I had to tell everyone we were raising taxes on the whole state.
Remember that.
Yeah. Yeah. It was virtual. We were all sitting there in the COVID confines, right? All right, let's touch base a little bit on right now where our trust fund is sitting at right now. As of June 30th, we were sitting at $1.1 billion, and that's actually a good sign. Right now, as of the 3rd of August, we're sitting at $1.2 billion. Mike's shop has certainly been busy capturing in 319, is that the number? That's your number for the estimate for this year, right? Yeah, 319. 319 is what he's captured in so far this year, and what we estimate for the rest of the year to actually get. So Mike is sitting around the 200 range right now, so Mike needs to finish up strong. He's limbering up for the final stretch run on that. But that, actually, I think, is some of the highest money we've gotten. What year is that? The 2012? 2012, when we took in $354 million. So we're getting up there. And I think we'll probably see where we'll be getting to our record numbers like we were before. Right now, the tax rate looks like for next year, we're estimating it's going to probably be unchanged at one, at our reserve factor at 1.1, and then also our social cost at 0.003, unless the economy just falls. Actually, no, because it's already set, right? Because we've already closed the look-back period as of right now. So we'll have the official run for next year's taxes. That'll actually occur somewhere closer to Thanksgiving. We like to really make everyone's Thanksgiving a happy affair by sending out the tax notices right around there. And so just watch for those for those employers in the room. And then if you're not an employer in the room, just know that when your boss is not so happy, that might be why when it comes to the end of the year. But from us, from our perspective, it's actually going to be unchanged. So we're looking actually pretty good. Let's go to the next slide real quick, Patrick. I wanted to touch base on a couple things, though. And it's better exemplified by the graph here. This is our historical graph since 2000. You've noticed that the two blue lines represent the minimum and maximum acceptable rate. The red line is our trust fund balance. Now, this is actually going to, they dance back and forth all the time. From year to year, based off what our needs are, from what we are collecting or what we're paying out. Okay. What I wanted to kind of focus on a little bit is that this number, this blue number, when it expands like this, that is a good sign for some people. For the economists in the room, that's a great sign because that means that this is our. This value represents how much in insured wages that we need to earn, wages that we need to insure for the state of Utah. Getting to the minimum adequate reserve and the maximum adequate reserve, getting to that sweet spot there, is statutorily required. Right now, the way the formula is calculated, it allows for us to go into an average high cost multiple of about 1.5 years or 18 months. And what that is it's a rainy day fund. And for those of you guys who are new to the council, unemployment works in the process of basically collect a lot of money in the times when it's really good, like the times of plenty. So when it gets real lean for the economy, we can actually tap into that reserve and actually pay out to the public. To help get them through the economic downturn, and then it's just a cycle that goes back and forth. That's why the red line goes up and down, up and down. What we've noticed, however, in the last couple of years is that if you notice, our trust fund has been unable to actually get back into the sweet spot there, and that's not necessarily concerning. What we're kind of encouraged by is that means we're red hot with the economy, and I think you kind of notice that when you get the monthly announcements that our communications division will send out, basically saying we have some of the most historic unemployment rates, low unemployment rates, and also that we keep growing in our economic sector, or at least with wages and with the jobs created in Utah. However, if you've noticed historically, Brad and I were talking about this with the rest of the group, when you watch these lines of groups, what happens is you see them flatten out, and I think what you're noticing is this case, we haven't seen a flattening in a while, and this is actually why our average high cost multiple we haven't been able to catch up to it yet. If it continues in this, it gets really bad, which means we're having to cover more money without actually the reserves for it. That might trigger some kind of a tax increase in the future, or basically an artificial tax increase might be needed. That is not what we're saying is going to happen today. We're not going to advocate for that. We're not actually even going to talk about that in next year's legislative cycle. We are monitoring it, though, because if without these kind of slow lull periods, and this actually represents when wages fall a little flat, when you kind of can see from a bad economic, right, we're looking at the Great Recession or the Terrible Recession, if you want to call it that way. Wages will flatten out, and when we start to recover, we're able to hop back into that because the wages fell flat. Wages keep growing, and that's our problem, at least in the state of Utah for right now. I would probably say that in the next 2 years, if it's still growing like that, I would be very shocked. I actually expect probably what we'll see is that it'll flatten out just like we have had in years past. If you just notice the trend, you'll see a flattening of wages. Boom, a spike happens when you're having the recovery from any kind of downturn, and then how it always keeps going. The issue here is that I think with the pandemic influence is it's really threw the economy for a loop, and we're all in new territory with this post-pandemic economy that has occurred. No one really knows what long-term is expected, right? When you go back and look historically 100 years, you just see economic growth all the time. It's when you get to that micro level, you see these little peaks and valleys here. So that's probably the one thing that I would probably point out when you're talking, if you're talking to any kind of influential individual, you may want to just say, hey, look, the formula is working, but we need to make sure that we don't mess with it to allow it to do its job. Because I know in the last couple of years we have legislative caps that have been put onto our trust fund collections, and that hasn't been entirely impactful. We were able to, the economy actually reacted in a way that we were able to keep our tax rates right in line with what the cap was. And so we didn't actually leave a lot of money on the table, but we did leave a little bit on the table, and it's just not helpful for the trust fund. Remember, the trust fund is what's paying when people are going unemployed or getting on unemployment. That's the money that actually pays for it. And you never want to go insolvent. When you go insolvent, then you basically have to go into a loan sharking situation with the Department of Labor, and no one likes that. At least I don't. And so that's probably the biggest concern, I think, with our trust fund that I would worry about at the moment. Again, these are problems that are unique only to Utah. Many states are not even close to this. I think there is a graph that we didn't include today, but if you look at our graph, there's only a handful of states that actually have an average high-cost multiple of 1 year. And what that, and again, for the new people on the group, an average high-cost multiple is a representation of if we stop collecting any money for the trust fund, how long could the trust fund pay out at the highest cost available to it? And when you're at 1 year, that means you could, without any additional money coming in from your tax revenue, you would pay at least a year. And we want, and the formula for Utah is that trust fund sits at around 1.5 years is where it likes to sit. But 1 year is actually is an acceptable range. So we're close. And I think if this flattens out, you'll see us get back up into the trust fund range right there. Any questions on the trust fund? Okay, Patrick, next slide for him, please. And I think this slide's always good. I know it's popular with the crowd. This is the DNA, the inevitable DNA stripe or the helix that they always like to refer to. This is an indication of what we've paid out and what we've actually collected. Whenever we pay higher amounts, whenever we collect more money, it's usually when we're paying out less, and when we pay more money, we're collecting less. And that's just because the economy's bad. So you have a lot of companies that actually go under, or they go insolvent. So tax revenue typically and understandably would drop in that. Where we had the one weird time period, it was that post-Great Recession time frame, because technically the recession ended around this time frame. We just had almost just an unprecedented length of time where the economy never went into a corrective cycle. I mean, it kind of stagnated a little bit, but it just hovered right next to itself for a long time. And of course, then you get to the Great Pandemic recession that we had there. So I think what we're noticing right now is benefits are up, collections are going a little bit flat. Again, that's where the concern from falling into the sweet spot of the trust fund, that's where our concern's hitting right now. Because right now, we are noticing a period where it does seem to kind of go in a traditional direction. I won't call it a recession. I won't call it a market correction. That's for the economists to say. That's not something I will say. But it is kind of highlighting in that trend. Now, again, this is a post-pandemic economy, though. No one knows exactly. We could actually have a situation where it instantly just benefits drop, and then all these collection efforts go back up again as well. We're kind of just rolling with all the punches of this economy right now because it's just so unusual for everyone to deal with. And I think that was that the last slide you had on the record, Patrick. So,
hey, Justin,
at that point, yeah.
Before you leave that slide, it's just interesting. Do you have any theories about why benefits are going
benefits paid are going up when our unemployment rate is hovering at one of the lowest rates in the country?
Yeah, I can only venture a guess, and I threw a couple of theories out the last couple of days, and then Patrick totally shot them down like a fighter pilot. I think the impact on the trust fund and also our benefits being paid, the economy is just impacted by a whole bunch of little things that go on. Now, I will say this, unemployment, the max unemployment rate in Utah is $712. 12? 712, right? 712. And that's a lot of money. And that is in the region. When we talk about like the Idaho, Nevada, Colorado, we are the highest paying state in the whole region that we have, immediate region that we're in. Part of that is impacted by that because benefits just cost more. And the reason they're higher is because we have to cover or we have to insure a higher tax or a higher amount of wages that are being paid. And so part of the benefits going up is because we're expensive. But that's because we've got a lot of high-priced jobs now. You know, you got your Silicon Slopes, you have your the technology, and you have your doctor's class. You have a lot of different jobs that are just being insured for that. And I think that's probably where we're leaning right now, that we are exploring, thinking that it's part of it's that. And then when you look at the unemployment rate, unemployment rate's really kind of an indicator that people go back and forth from popularity, right? It's just a sample of people who say, well, I'm working or I'm not working. So it could be part-time individuals who could still be getting a little bit of benefits as well, because you can still get unemployment and get something as well. And it could just be that those jobs that are on the unemployment or that show a low unemployment rate, the reserve of jobs are actually, probably dwindling a little bit more. But the low unemployment rate, and I think it would have been nice to have Mark here today because he would have explained this, is that the corrective actions that they think might happen in Utah is just a result of all those reserve of jobs just going away. And so we won't necessarily see a traditional, like a recessionary downturn because it's just those unfilled jobs. And I think the employer reps will probably agree there's just still a need to fill open positions right now. But it's most likely the higher rates or higher wages that are being paid out on when we're doing that. That's probably the immediate impact at the moment. It's hard. We are looking into it. It's just we haven't. It's one of those things that's a little bit bedeviling to try to track down officially. Patrick, you wanted to say something?
I think we are also seeing higher claims numbers, especially than last year when comparing. Looking at the number of people that we have on unemployment insurance, 2022 was particularly low. So far in 2023, we are seeing a higher number of people on unemployment insurance. And so there's the interesting thing, right? We have the unemployment rate and the insured unemployment rate. The unemployment rate is coming from the survey that Justin was talking about, you know, are you looking for work? The insured unemployment rate is calculated based on how many people are filing weekly claims, based on how many, compared to how many people we actually cover in unemployment insurance. And so that's, you know,
those two numbers should roughly track.
They should compare. There maybe we're seeing a little bit of disconnect in those two numbers right now. But we certainly are in our numbers seeing in the insured unemployment rate. Like when I was looking at this July compared to last July, double the insured unemployment rate. We are seeing more claims as well as the fact that. Because we've indexed our benefits to wages, our benefits are higher, and so we're paying more to more people.
I think one thing to note about the unemployment rate is that unemployment rate can be impacted by people who actually get out of the labor market. And so when you survey when the BLS goes and does their survey, if someone says, I'm no longer looking for work, they're no longer part of that stat. And so you can actually artificially influence the unemployment rate number by recording what you want to record, whereas the insured unemployment rate is a little bit harder to kind of artificially influence. And I'm not saying that's actually any kind of artificial movement is happening, but it is. They don't always bode well with one another all the time because What that one number is just a sign of what is the public wanting to do. The other number is what is the public actually doing, right? And so that the insured unemployment rate is those people who are trying to file versus the number of people that we insure or the number of wages that we insure. The other one is just kind of a, hey, do you feel like working today? And so it is a tricky one, and that's why a lot of people have tried to go, like, we announce unemployment rate because it makes the public feel really good. I don't know if unemployment rate is one of those indicators that you'd say, hey, unemployment rate's really low, we're not going to have a real problem here. It is one of those numbers that actually lags behind in most economic cycles. When you normally have happen is, in the past two recessions, what we had is the recession hit, and then all of a sudden they started saying, oh, you know, unemployment's a little high. So it was never an early indicator. It was always a post indicator that said, oh, yeah, we were in a recession because unemployment went up. So it's hard to kind of to look at that one and say, hey, look, we're still in a healthy situation.
What is our insured unemployment rate right now?
0.63%.
Was it 0.6 or 0.9? I thought it was 0.9.
It was
0.6. Was it 0.6? Okay. And right, so and so for context, we wouldn't trigger into an extended benefit situation unless we are at 5% insured unemployment rate. And so we're way off from a real doom and gloom scenario here in Utah. It has actually gone up, though. Insured unemployment rate is up from last year when you compare year to year. So. And so we're seeing, but as Patrick had mentioned, last year was a weird, it's just an odd time because when you had the pandemic happen, everybody was on unemployment, and then the next year they kind of came back in 21, and then all our unemployment numbers just fell off the cliff in 22. We just didn't know what to make of it, and then now all of a sudden they're growing again. And so the short-term up and down is really what we're not accustomed to. If you notice, we're accustomed to long, drawn-out processes. We're accustomed to market corrections that you look back on and say, I should have seen that coming about 8 months ago, 10 months ago, to about a year ago. That's how a traditional economic correction occurs. Right now, we're getting a real volatile up and down. But I don't think it's because we have a changing economy. I think it's just we're just still only a couple of years away from an artificial shutdown of the economy. And so when you have that, it takes a little while to get the economy back up and running in its own steam again. But until that happens, I think you get a little bit of volatility. So I think what we're noticing is a little bit of volatility. No one is hoping for a correction in this room, especially the unemployment people, because it hits us just as hard as it hits you guys different ways. And so we're not looking forward to something like that as well. But, yeah, it's the economy. I think what people need to realize is the economy, if you treat the economy like a living organism, it makes a little bit more sense, at least it has for me. When I try to say, look, it's not an artificial construct we can just kind of mold and toy around with all we want. The economy will just react the way it wants to react. We could try to do something to make it look and feel better, but it'll still just do whatever it wants to do. So, you know, they talk about the inflationary inflationary results from the last 2 years. This is after a lot of the government assistance programs went out there and said, oh, this won't hurt. This won't hit inflation. And then it did, right? And so then they said, well, okay, maybe it did impact a little bit. You just don't know how the economy will react because it could be a variety of different things. Social influences can turn the economy left or right as well. Preferences, you know, you talk about the entertainment industry, they're really struggling because no one wants to go to the movies anymore. That's one of the social things that it's just no longer popular to go to the movies and eat popcorn type of thing. And that's one of those impacts. Now, that doesn't hurt Utah because we're not really the entertainment capital of the United States, but it's just those sort of things. Where I think where we, and this is where I will close on some optimism. Utah, I've been through two major recessions in Utah as a worker, and then we did the pandemic. And I don't count the pandemic as a traditional recession. So I did the George W. I was here during the George W. recession. That one felt bad. I was here during the Great Recession. That one felt really bad. And then I was here for the pandemic, which was just otherworldly. And I will say this, that Utah has recovered really, really well out of every one of these corrections. And we call them market corrections here in Utah because we technically never go into recession in Utah. Mark would have said that. And we can ask Mark in December. Mark, when I went and talked to Mark a while ago about the economy, he said, you know, Utah hasn't gone into an official recession, the state of Utah, since the 60s. And the reason is because we just have a very strong, consistent economy. And when you look across how we handle, we have a good, like his last talking point was birth rate last year. We have a good birth rate in Utah, and so we replace with new workers all the time. But also, we have a very diverse working class. I think Melissa, I think if Kelly's on, Kelly can attest to that as well. We have a very diverse categories of work that are out there for people. We have industry, we have farming, we have service, we have computer and technology, we have all this stuff, and we don't have our economy hitched to just one major sector. And so we really handle a lot of these corrections really smooth. Now, it doesn't feel that way when your particular job has been impacted or your particular employment field has taken a hit. The Great Recession, that was the mortgage industry, none of those guys felt like it was a great time to be in Utah because their job got impacted so heavily. But we do come out of these things pretty smoothly. And I think that's what I'd end with, the optimism that we have. Yes, we'll see the impacts. These are a micro analysis of year to year. But in Utah, we are very consistent, and we're consistently trying to oversee and make sure everything's working well. And unemployment's always going to be there, at least as long as we have money for it. So our goal is to make sure. Leanne is trying to make sure that the right people get the benefits, and the people who aren't supposed to get benefits, they don't get benefits. And we actually had a conversation about someone who didn't get benefits, and he wasn't supposed to get benefits. So, you know, Mike is devoted to getting as much money as he can. $319 million, that's good. And then Jolynn is making sure that our systems are operating at full optimal capability so we can both collect as much money and deny or allow as much as we can. So, any questions on the state? So I will close, though. We're good. The trust fund's good. It's not as much as we'd like it to be, but it's still in a good space. So I wouldn't necessarily go home. I know you guys are going to go home and worry about it and wring your hands on the state of the trust fund today. Dave especially is just going to be like, oh, man, you'll need another cookie, Dave.
It's going to take more than one.
To put in perspective also, the national insured unemployment rate last week was 1.2%. So that compares, you know, maybe gives a little perspective to our 0.63%.
Yeah. I will say, having a benefits background, I never noticed the recession until the beginning of the next year. And then they'd always go back and say, well, it started in the summer. And so they just never really know until it's hit us already. If we all had an ability to forecast that, we'd all be very rich in this room because none of us would have our 401ks sitting where we think they would be at. We'd be able to move our retirement money in better places if we had that. Okay, so I think that is all I have for the trust fund update. I wish I had some more economic information for you, but Mark is indisposed. I'll have him for next time. And he's really good. And I think Dave, Steve, Kevin, and Eileen, these guys, and I think Melissa has also heard Mark talk. And Mark is really good. He puts it in a real easy to understand format. You don't feel like you just watched brain surgery happening when he talks about the economy. So it's really nice. So on that note, I would like to just go around the room and actually virtually, if I could, if we could have Sheila, could you maybe announce who you are and just kind of give a little snippet of what you do?
So my name is Sheila Ulrich, and I work for WDD. I am a state program specialist, so I'm over many different programs, like part of the SNAP program that's connected to WDD, Random Moment Time Sampling, I don't know if UI does that, I don't know, a lot of different programs. I've been with the department since 2011.
All right, thanks, Sheila. Candace, can you give a little something?
Sure. So I'm Candace Daly, and I'm actually an independent contract lobbyist that I work with. All my clients are business owners in the state of Utah, and I work very closely with them to make sure that they can stay healthy and grow in the state of Utah, and I appreciate being on this committee. I learn a lot, and I also appreciate the hard work you've put into making sure we come back from our concerns back in 2020.
All right, thanks, Candace. And then I think, maybe, should I turn the camera to everybody so you can see?
Yes.
The group?
Justin, who is Dan?
Oh, Dan is a nobody, right, Dan?
That's absolutely right.
Dan, why don't you tell everyone what you do?
My name is Dan Schering. I work for Kevin Berg at BWS, and my primary responsibilities to deal with legislative affairs. And I'm just listening in to try to learn a little bit.
I think the code is Dan's Kevin's spy, and he's here to make sure we don't say anything out of the line. So I'll get a phone call later tonight. I'm joking, Dan. I'm joking. Steve, why don't you go ahead?
Okay, my name is Steven Malkenberg. Actually, the company I work with is Employer Advocates. We represent a lot of employers throughout the state of Utah for their unemployment cost control side of it. And I brought my sidekick along here.
I'm Preston, but I also work for Employer Advocates.
You should call them minions, that's what I call them.
Minions, I did for a while. That's what I got taller than I did.
All right, how about you, Matt?
My name is Matt Hildig. I am with OCM LHH. If any of you remember Greg Diven, who used to be part of this, he suggested that I take a look or just reach out. So, if you already know Greg's business, for those of you who don't, we're an outplacement. So if a company lets somebody go or a group of people, they contract with our firm, they pay us to help their departing employees. So we help them with their resumes, LinkedIn, all kinds of things. We don't find jobs for people. We help them with the job search process. And we've been here, been doing that for 35 years. I started in 2014. Many of you know my dad, Dave. He started the company, worked with a lot of folks locally. I didn't inherit his perfect head of hair, obviously, but that's okay. Same last name is good enough. So.
All right, thanks, Matt. Mm-hmm. Melissa.
So I'm Melissa Stark from the Commissioner of Apprenticeship Programs for the state of Utah and housed here within the Department of Workforce Services. And for the better part of my career, I've worked on industry and education partnerships, which kind of dabbled in apprenticeships, and then have just in the last 3.5 years, so 4 years now, been focused specifically on. So that's been fun and interesting. Watching, you know, what you were talking about with recession, I was here managing a grant during the 2010, and it was always interesting to see things happen somewhere else before Utah. But yet we came out of it before the rest of them did. And I think we just have a history of that, which is pretty neat.
Yeah, that's that hardworking Utah spirit. All right, thanks, Melissa. I think, do I have Dave's good side?
They're all good.
So Dave Davis, I was just, and I run a trade association representing retailers across the state. I was looking around. I think I may be the longest serving individual.
Good save.
Yeah, you're on the... council. So, we provide a lot of services for our members, but our primary service that we provide is government affairs representation. So, I spend most of my time during the legislative session up on the Hill working with policymakers.
Right. Thanks, Dave.
I'm younger than Dave, and I don't think Joey is, actually.
Joey Gilbert with the Associated General Contractors. Many of you probably remember Rich Thorne, our prior president and CEO. He retired this year. I've now taken the role as president and CEO of the association, and we represent the commercial construction industry.
I see that Joey's carrying on Kevin's penchant for colorful socks as well.
No, there we go.
That's
I wish it was only socks with Kevin.
Well, that's true.
Awful shirts and ties.
He still wears awful shirts too,
and
by the way.
Dan, please pass that along to Kevin.
Good beer.
Okay, Eileen.
Eileen Rivera. I'm a retired EWS worker, was here for 27 years. Worked in the contribution side and retired as a field audit manager and worked mainly in field audit and the employer accounts where we set up all the new accounts. It's where I knew your sweet wife. Mm-hmm. And she was always on the ball. She got her new clients, made sure they were registered, knew what the rates were going to be, everything. So it was a joy to work with her. Was invited to be on the council and really enjoying it. Interested in see what the wage base is going to go up to. It has always gone up. It's never even stayed the same for 2 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Curious to see that as well.
Yeah. So we got to have a pot going.
Going up's not, and I say, going up's not the problem. It's just how much it goes up.
Yeah.
So I think it went from 640 to 712, and that was a big jump. That was a big leap. So that was in the last year. So.
Yeah, it went from 41,600 to 44,800.
Oh yeah, sorry, I was talking about the week of that. Yeah, 3,000. Yeah, it was a pretty big jump.
And when I started, it was still in the teens.
Yeah. Kevin.
I'm Kevin Singleton. I'm a retired employee. I worked in the collection unit most of my 33 years. I was in field audit for about 3 or 4 years. And I'm here representing the public.
So we replaced one Kevin with an upgrade. Upgrade Kevin. And Dan's going to have all these notes of all the things that we just bagged on Kevin the whole meeting. All right, well, thanks, Kevin. And then this is Cheryl. Cheryl, do you want to say a little something?
I do not.
Okay, that's Cheryl. That's Cheryl. She's the glue that holds everything together administratively for us. And in the back row, we have Jared Menenhall. He's our communications guy. Jolyn Badame, she's our programming chief. Mike Miller, he's our chat tax chief. We have Leanne Madsen, she's our chief of benefits. We have Brad Salmon, who's the manager of program services, and also his sidekick is Patrick Frost, and Patrick is our research. What is your title again? It's research analyst or research consultant. He's a research consultant. And I always forget the two part, and he gets mad at me every time. So, all right. So before I take a motion to close the meeting, does anyone have any questions, or would anyone like to bring up anything for the committee or for the council before we leave?
I just wanted to make one clarification. You said something, Justin, really quickly. Is the department going to be looking to modify the formula at all in this upcoming legislative session?
No, no, we're not. And I think the reason I brought up the talking points is I wanted to make sure that if that kind of talk starts to permeate from the legislative body, we want to try to influence them to not have that. I've been talking to Kevin in the last year because he's our legislative liaison as well, encouraging him to just make sure that if that kind of talk comes up, to try to quell it as much as possible. We just need the formula to try to recover. And when they try to go in and tinker with it, it does have an impact to us. And like I said, we were able to mitigate it as much as possible. But when we go around the country and we talk to other states. And it was interesting. I went to a conference in July, and one of the things that struck me was that I think it was the state of Colorado and the state of Delaware, their legislatures had tinkered with their formula so much that they've been borrowing money from the federal government for like the last 15 years or something like that. So when you borrow from the federal government, you basically add an extra tax to all the employers in the state because they don't let you use administrative funds. They don't let you use unemployment trust fund funds to repay any borrowed money. You have to levy an extra tax out there to actually get the money back, or you can bond out of it as well. But that's still an extra tax because someone's got to pay for the bond. And so we strive to make sure we never go insolvent because that is an undue burden on the employers, and that impacts the public and the employees as a whole as well, because if you got to pay taxes as an employer, that's less money you can spend on your employees or the staffing or the resources you need to do your job. So that's our aim. That's why we're worried about the trust fund every year. That's why we give you guys an update for it every year too. Oh, do I need to turn the screen around to have them look at me when I'm talking? Oh. See, this is what Cheryl, this is why Cheryl's there. Okay, how about from the crowd? Candace, Sheila, you got anything you'd like to bring up?
Good.
No, thanks.
Okay, and then I'd ask Dan, but remember, Dan's a nobody, right, Dan?
Sorry to rat him out.
That's right.
I like that. Dan's really good. I've been working with him. All right, so can anyone want to...
Motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn. Second motion, all in favor?
Aye.
Okay, they have it. We are adjourned. Thanks, guys. You want to close this, Patrick? Well, have a sandwich on the way out. We've got plenty of food.
You want to take an extra sandwich?
2:30
for now.
We're
back to the regular.
Well, tell them when I says hi over there.
We successfully pulled it off.
Yeah, 5 years actually. So
nice job.